pressed on their feet and will sing it. There's another little course. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. It's something the same tune, but we'll have to learn it as well. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything. That's great and small. He is my
your everything. Praise God. He has to be our everything. We want the Lord first in our lives, first in everything. We want the Lord Jesus first. Amen. If He's not first, it's nothing. If He's not first, the Lord has to be first. Isn't that right? Praise God this evening. The Lord bless each one. Sister Rita, Carl's mom sends a greeting. She was over for a few days. She's down in Glengormley with Sister Anna. Sister Anna came up to see us as well. Great wee woman for her age, 78 now. And, you know, I have so much respect for Sister Anna. You know, she used to go out on Sunday in Wales. She hired a bus out. She'd go and get over 30 people every Sunday and bring them to church. And you know, one time the church was about to close, there were six of them, they were down to six. And that was counting her and Roger made up the six, so there was them two and four. And they didn't know what to do, and they're praying about it. And Sister Anna had a vision or a dream, and she was boiling up this big pot of soup, or stew. And all these people started coming, and she started giving them, ladling them out. Cups of soup or stew, whatever she had in this pot. And the very next day, about 12 people or so came, and they said, "We heard there's a church here." And she said, "Yes." And they went from 6 to 70. Lots of money went to the church. 70 people went to the church from 6. And the Lord gave her a dream. And John Noble was similar. John Noble and them was the same. There's hardly anybody coming. And his brother-in-law had a dream, and when they were in the hall, they used to partition the hall off with like a big curtain, because the hall was far too big for them, just a few of them. And his brother-in-law had a dream, and he got up and he told this dream, and he seen people looking behind the curtain, looking to come in for church. And the next service, 32 arrived, on John Noble's church, and John's going on to be with the Lord, but there's about 90 people or 100 at least there now. And the meetings are still going. And that's what God's able to do. Overnight. Overnight. Now, maybe you all didn't get saved, but I'll tell you, God can save 1,000 in 1 minute. He's able to do it. And see, if we think He can't do it, we're working with the wrong God. and there's only one God. How many believes there's one God?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's turn to the Word of God to Mark 11, verse 23 and 24. That's a well-known portion of Scripture. Mark 11, verse 23 and 24. And look, God bless those that's here this evening. And we appreciate we can come into the house of the Lord and meet with the Lord. Sunday morning, I want to talk a little bit about, maybe for those that's been bereaved, thrown off the old coat. I don't know if maybe I preached it before once, but I'm going to talk about it again. I'm reading a book at a minute. Brother Freeborn told me about it. It's about this wee girl, and she had tremendous visitations into heaven things. I can't remember her name at the minute, but she's powerful. What she saw, and then I was listening that sermon Beyond the Curtain of Time. And then Sunday evening, I want to talk about how purgatory is an offense to the cross. And I'm going to talk about that Sunday night. It is an offense to the cross, purgatory. There was a purgatory, a suffering, but there's one man already took it. That was Christ. So that we don't have one. We don't need a purgatory. He suffered for us. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't need a purgatory? And there's nobody can pay for you to get over no bridge or no gap. Jesus Christ is the way. I'm going to preach it on Sunday night. I'm not going to talk much about purgatory, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord's done. It's a false teaching. And there's so many people, that maybe some of us know good people, and we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten them. And the best way to enlighten anybody, how many knows what it says? The Word of God. That's the light. Praise God. Let's read verse 23 to 24. Let's read verse 22 of the power of faith. This is about faith and prayer of the night. Let me go from verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. And you know I often say, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let us bow. Lift your hand tonight if you want prayer. And I want you to pray for me as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. In the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are a privileged people, because our eyes have been opened and we see Jesus in all its fullness and glory of salvation, healing and deliverance. Help us, O God, to show others the way of the cross, the way of life, eternal life. Bless everyone in this room tonight. Meet the need of everyone. In the hands that's raised, you know the needs, Lord, and you've showed us here when we pray, believe it.
Yes.
Whatever we desire, and you've told us we can have it.
Amen.
Let those hands that's raised, whatever they desire, that they can have it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you, Lord. You do undertake for me. Bind every work of the devil, I pray. Bless every word tonight that preaches the truth. On your people, wherever they're met. And for those at home tonight that couldn't be here, bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I was reading a little story. It's in one of my, I might have mentioned it before, but I'm going to mention it again anyhow. Different bits in this Bible, different wee statements from different men of God. It's all through this Bible here. and I love reading them. I never get tired reading them. But there was a hotel, and there's people staying at this big fancy hotel. And after a few days, they went to the management and they complained. Because there's a wee girl in the hotel, and every day she was peddling on the piano. She couldn't really play it, but she's peddling on it and disturbing everybody and making a noise. And they complained to the manager of the hotel. And the manager of the hotel said, look, her father is the best customer I have in this hotel. And he sends a lot of people my way, and he comes here quite often himself, and his family's been sent here. He'll be back in a day or two. You should take it up with him, but please don't say anything to the wee girl. So the next day, the father arrived home, and before anybody got to say anything, the wee girl was in strumming away again, and the father came in, and he stood behind her, and he put his hands on her hands, and the next thing, they began to hear the most wonderful music being played from the same piano. And I tell you tonight, you could make a terrible noise that would disturb people and do nobody any good in a pulpit. But if God will come, and if he'll shadow over the preacher, someone can be said that'll make a difference. I can guarantee you that. We're nobody, but he's everybody.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it is a touch of the master that makes a difference. It's like the story was told of the old violin, and I'm sure people's heard the story of the old violin, and they couldn't even sell it for a dollar. Nobody wanted it. But an old man slipped up from the back and began to play it, and the beautifulest music began to come out of the violin, the next thing, $100, $1,000, and the violin went from being worth nothing to worth an awful lot. And I tell you this evening, you're precious in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord loves you tonight. You're nothing, maybe yourself, you think that, and the world thinks that, but Jesus went the whole way to the cross just to save you. Think of that this evening. You need to think of it as personal, a personal act that the Lord done for you because he loved you. He will leave the 99 and he'll go after the one lost sheep. That's our Lord. That's how wonderful our Lord is. And here tonight he tells us in verse 23 that he wants us, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. God can answer prayer. I'm sure there's testimonies in this room for God has answered prayer. I could quote you many testimonies for God's answered prayer. You know, one of the greatest testimonies, and it's good to refer to healing and testimonies, that's good, but I believe salvation's the greatest testimony of all. How many believes that tonight? When a wee woman stood on a bridge in Belfast and was going to throw a baby over and jump over herself, and a young preacher called James McConnell stopped her and had a talk with her, and she said that Sydney was in jail and she was going to end it all, and he claimed Sydney Murray on that bridge. And shortly after that, Sidney Murray was released from jail, and he was coming down the street. He was a drinker and he was looking for a cure, and he saw a couple of men in suits, and he said, well, I'll get a cure in here. And they said, come on in, you'll get a cure. And James McConnell was preaching, and he's only a young fella, and Sidney Murray got converted that morning. Now, he didn't join Whitewell, he joined the Brethren. That's who Murray joined for 17 years. But I'm going to tell you one thing about the Brethren. They know how to preach the cross. That's one thing about them. And a prophet of God said, if you ever get the people with the fundamentals and the people of the Spirit together, then you've got something.
Amen.
You need them both together.
Yes.
You need the truth on the basics on salvation, and you need then the Pentecostal on top of it. Both. So we need to pray the Brethren gets the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Isn't that it? But Murray became a Pentecostal, didn't he? He got the baptism. He was with the Brethren 17 years. Then he got the baptism. But look how God, I'm showing you that God answered James McConnell's prayer. I tell you, God can answer prayer. Praise God. You know, Brother Laurie mentioned last Sunday about the coach, and there's a church going to be in the coach. But I'm going to tell you in this service tonight, there was the coach in Banbridge and the circus, and there used to be a group meeting my front bedroom, and we used to pray for for the coach to close and the circus to close. That's years ago. And I started praying. I saw a young girl coming out of the circus one night, and it disturbed me. She was so young, I knew her, and it disturbed me, and I went and fasted and prayed, and God closed that dirty place called the circus. It is a dump.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Now, don't ask me what I think of the coach, because you mightn't like what I tell you. I'm honest about it and what I do with it. Yes. I'll be honest with you. There's something I'd do with it before I'd be doing anything in it. It would start off with a couple of bombs. Then it would start a new foundation. That's the truth. That's what I think of it. The lives that was ruined in them two places. And I'm glad that God's closed them. Amen.
Amen.
And I tell you, we need to pray for a revival in Barnbridge, a move of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Barnbridge needs a shaking. Everywhere needs a shaking.
Amen.
And we need a move of God. Praise God. You see, man's looking for better methods, but God is looking for men and women that's willing. Men and women that's willing. Not better methods. God does not need better methods. God's methods are tried, proved, and tested. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's God's methods. God's no gimmicks. There's no gimmicks for God. On the day of Pentecost was fully come, they didn't have a gimmick, that the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And they went out and they used what they had. And they didn't have better methods, they had the better power of God. We need the power of God today. Amen?
Amen.
We need the power of God today. And we need to pray that God will move, first of all, on his own people. There's a lot of Christians praying for people to get saved, but a lot of Christians need to get front slid. They need to get right with God.
Yes.
Themselves. That's the truth now. And they need to get into the house of God and get seeking God and get right with God and quit playing games. Jesus is coming again. I tell you, when the Lord comes, none of us will be saying, "Hang on now, Lord, I'll tell you, I have a wee thing here, I can't miss tonight." He'll be tuck, and that'll be the end of it. You'll miss every appointment you have, and you'll be taken. If you're in that number, you're gone. If you're sealed in with the Holy Ghost, you're gone. How many knows the token is the Holy Ghost? Amen. The token of the day is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said in Romans, if the same Spirit, or Paul in Romans about the Lord, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying in faith that God will do it. We don't want to be wavering like every wind and wave. We want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. There's something about people that's steadfast. There's something about it. Brothers that are sisters, they say they never miss a service. They're steadfast. If they're missing, there's a good reason for it. And I tell you, I know it's not about how many times you come to church, but I'll tell you one thing. If you love somebody, you couldn't get enough of them. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, if you think that it's right that you don't, if you love them, it doesn't matter if you get enough of them, you're not in love at all. You're only praying about it. You're messing about. That's the truth. When you love someone, you can't get enough of them. And when you love the Lord Jesus, you can't get enough of them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I thank God. You know, when I started out for the Lord, and I used to spend all the weekends and the evenings in my bedroom seeking and waiting on God. If it wasn't there, I was out giving tracts out or preaching in the streets. You know, me and Brother Andrews used to give 1,000 tracts out every single Friday night. Every Friday night, 1,000 of them. Every Friday night, we walk the streets of Barnbridge, we give 1,000 tracts out. We used to do 3 open airs every Saturday, every single Saturday. One wasn't enough, we done 3. We'd do 1 in the morning, 1 later on, another one. And there used to people go with me, and Brother George was one of them. Brother Wee George used to go with me on the Saturdays. Brother Ewell would have went, and we never missed it. And you know, one Saturday morning, I'll never forget it because George was late to come and lift me. He used to lift me in a white XR3i. We were boy racers. I'll never forget that car, white XR3i. And I was crazy about cars. And the white XR3i, she was something, she was a car then. I thought she was anyway. This morning, Saturday morning, George was late. And he was well late, and I couldn't understand why so late. When we got to Portie down that morning, there'd been the bomb. And I used to just stand above the bank at the top on the big church. And if I'd have been standing there that morning, I mightn't have been here. Because all the windy was broken. That bank was blew up, and I built that bank. I rebuilt the bank with two bricklayers. Walter Graham and Eddie McKnight. And you see the coins in the corner of that bank. I set every one of them coins into that corner. You go and look at them someday. They're heavy. And the two bricklayers tied them on one day. The big fella McKenzie set them in by himself. And they said, no way. But I done it. They were lightweight. There's things can be done. But I'm telling you what. God saved me that morning. My brother Ewell was walking up lurking one of the nights the bombs went off. Not right, brother. Scared the life out of him. And he got saved. That's the truth, isn't it, brother? He got saved shortly after that. And you know Brother Ewell's testimony, where he got saved in the car. Hallelujah! I tell you, God's real. God answers prayer.
Amen. Yes.
You know, you could have been prayed for and you didn't even know it, but you mightn't have been here, but that prayer saved you. Is that the truth?
Yes.
God does it. God saved you. God spared you. God spared you and saved you for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. I don't care what the devil told you. He's a liar. But God's the truth. He can't lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's faith described here. You know, faith that realizes that he or she that uses faith in this way can touch the divine God. We can touch God with faith. Faith touches God. Oh, but Brother Tom, you see, I'm not working with any faith. Are you saved? Oh, I'm saved, but if no faith, well, Paul tells me in the book of Romans to every single one of us is given the measure of faith to the devil's a liar. You need to give him the word. You ever thinking about someone and people's talking and you don't know what the answer is and the scripture comes to you? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord giving you the word. Amen. That's what Jesus done with the devil. When the devil took him up them the mountains and he said, all these kingdoms will I give you. Jesus never said, hold on a minute. Sure, I own them. He didn't do any of that. He said, it's written. It's written.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He didn't start to say, well, I tell you, I have power over you and I can do this and that. He could have tossed them on his head. But he said, it's written. He gave us someone we can use.
Yes.
He could have used any gift, you know, for he had them all. He could have spoken it and vanished. Do you know that? The devil would have disappeared if Jesus had said, vanish him. Do you ever think of that? You know, Billy Sunday said when Jesus was on the cross, he said that God just would have winked his eye and 10,000 angels would have took him off it in a moment. But he's on the cross and he suffered for me and you.
Amen.
He took God's wrath that we should have had on us because he took our place. He's the propitiation of our sin. Hallelujah. His work's complete. You're only going to see it on Sunday night. You pray the Lord will help me on Sunday night. Hallelujah. Faith. Is your faith growing or declining? Are you training the muscle, the faith muscle? God wants you to exercise the faith muscle. He wants you to build it up. He wants you to work it. He gives you some things. That's the weight on it. You know, you start with a 10 pound, you move up to a 20 and the 30 right up. And one day you're surprised what you're able to lift because the muscle grows and faith grows. Because we're serving a God that's bigger than anything, mightier than anything. The Lord our God is mighty. Hallelujah. God wants our faith not to decline. In this evil Laodicean age, God doesn't want our faith to decline. Shall he find faith when he comes? That's what he said. And it is impossible to please God without faith. God's looking for people with faith. How's your faith tonight? never failed. Isn't that right? Peter's faith never failed. When Peter came up to the temple of the Arpur, the gift called Beautiful, they said, silver and gold have we none. But such as we have, Peter and John,
amen,
we give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He had the keys, all right. He had the keys. Hallelujah. And they took him by the hand. They had faith in what they said, and he leaped and he danced up into the temple praising God. Peter had faith. Peter went to the word of God that he had for his day, which was the book of Joel. That was the word for Peter's day. The book of Joel. It shall come to pass the last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. Upon my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit. Peter preached the Holy Ghost message and the Holy Ghost fire. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I would that God would fill us. And Brother Larry preached it Sunday morning, and then he read on from the text, for Brother Larry was preaching, and it said, while Peter yet spake these words, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost fell on them.
Hallelujah.
I'll guarantee you, they didn't need to come up before the pastor or the overseer or the head man of the movement and say, brother, do you think, have I got the Holy Spirit or not? Do you think any of those people that was there needed to ask that question? No, they didn't, because they knew they had it. It fell on them. It fell on them. I'll tell you, if I took something tonight and dropped it from that roof onto you, you'd know it. That's the truth. It means what it says. It fell on them. It came down on them and they knew it.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't the word of God say it'll come on to you like the former rain, the latter rain, the first month? The rain coming down, the first rain ripens the first crop, then the next. It needs another little rain to finish it. And we need some rain to finish us. We've started all right, but we need more rain to finish us. We don't need some doctrine palaver to explain it away that God can't do it today. We need the real Holy Ghost to come. The power of God to come and visit us. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, the sisters came one time when we were in the old schoolhouse and they sang that song. It's the first time I ever heard it sung. And they said, sometimes it makes me feel like tremble, tremble, tremble. And I tell you, sometimes the Holy Ghost will make you shake, it'll make you tremble, but it'll do something to you. Everybody's different, but if you get enough of it, I'll tell you, it will do something on you.
Amen.
It has to.
Yes.
Glory to God. Oh, I pray it'll wet us that's running over us. And it'll get in somebody else beside us when it's coming off of us. Like Peter, while he yet spake these words. Hallelujah. You've heard all the thing that Brother John's preached about. Peter's been brilliant. And think of it. Think of that man. Walked on the water. Somebody said he sunk, but he walked before he sunk. And like I said, when Jesus lifted him up out of the water, Jesus didn't say, now I'll tell you what, Peter, get on my back and I'll carry you back to the boat. Never happened. He walked back to the boat with the Lord on the water.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's the same Peter that the shadow of Peter, when it went over the sick, they were healed. But the power of God was all over them. That's because of Pentecost. That's because Jesus says, I have prayed for you.
Oh.
Hallelujah. That's important, the Lord's prayer is. And the same Lord says, none have I lost that thou hast given me. You're the Lord tonight. God can't lose what's his. He knows everyone. Not only does he know you and me, but he knows the very hairs of our head is numbered. Think of that. God knows every hair in our head. Now, I've heard, I don't know where it is tonight, but I had heard one time, and I'm going to have heard again. Now, I can't explain how it's going to happen, but you see, if I was over on the other side, and this body was changed, I'll have a head of hair like a young fella. Hallelujah! That's great, brother. Glory to God. That's the truth. I tell you, God's going to transform us. We're going to be like young people. Brother Larry will not know me. He'll be looking for me. Where'd that bald boy go? no, we're not flying up and going up into the clouds. He's taking us. We're getting tuck. Do you ever get tuck somewhere? Did somebody ever come and lift you and take you somewhere? It's all paid for. It's all sat on. When the Lord comes, it's all paid for. Jesus is paid for. The wedding is all sat on. The feast is sat on.
Amen.
And he's coming to get a bride. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. There's no cost. He's it all prepared.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad tonight Jesus done it. Hallelujah. I didn't plan preaching any of this, but it's happening. Aren't you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to have to close in a moment. I've used my time already. I tell you, aren't you glad? Faith's gone up, not gone down. Look at Hebrews 11. And then I'm going to close. We're going to pray. Praise God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My father took me to Bond Bridge many years ago. I was just saved in a van. He used to take me up to Elam as well in an old Fiat van. And I remember going along the road and I was desperately wanting a word from the Lord. I'd been praying and praying about a certain thing. And he gave me that scripture and I never forgot it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But God wants us to diligently seek him. God wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe. Whatever we desire, we're going to have it. And God wants us to keep seeking him. God doesn't want us to slack off. You know, when I run at school, the best way to win a long distance race is keep the pressure on. You don't win it on the first lap, but you win it with a steady going. All the good long distance runners can set a pace and keep it. And right when they come right to the line, they actually increase it. They don't drop it off. That's why they're so good. But you see people that go out quick. They go out quick and nobody can stay with them. And after a lap, they're puffed out and they land on the side. And that's them finished. But God wants a steady goer. Amen. God wants us to keep on going.
Amen.
Not the truth. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And Paul said, you've run well. What hindered you? And sad to say tonight, there's many a man and a woman that ran well, but they've been hindered on the way.
Yes.
Now, may the Lord help us to lift them up and get them on the track again.
Yes.
And we're running for a prize. We're running for a prize. There's going to be a podium at the end of it. Did you know that? We're running for a prize. And I tell you, the thing is, you need to be in the race. You're not in the race if you're not in it. Amen? You can't run for the prize if you're not entered in the race. But you're entered. You've no choice. You're entered in it. Paul says we're in the race. And we're running in that race tonight. And there's a prize at the end of it. You know the most glorious thing? You know, if you listen to that little message, Beyond the Curtain of Time, William Branham got over there on the other side and all these people come up, threw their arms around him. He said, one young woman, and she said, my precious brother, do you not know me? And he said, I'm sorry, I don't know you. And he said, he had no feelings up there like a man would have here. There was no feelings like that up there. And he said, I was over 90 years of age, the woman said, when you led me to Christ. That's the prize we want. We want to lead people to the Lord. We want to influence them, even if we don't directly, maybe, you know, have the part in praying them to get them to the Lord, but to see people saved. You know, the Bible says the angels rejoice in heaven when one sinner comes home. There's a shout in the heaven. There's rejoicing. That's the most important thing. God does things. Hear me this evening. I feel this in my spirit tonight. God lets things happen. And I don't understand it myself. And God's been showing me these things. God lets things happen sometimes for an opportunity for something bigger. said, you see, before the baby's born, the baby doesn't see everybody and its mother and everything. It's living in the mother in safety, and it doesn't see all them things, and it doesn't know them, or it might have a bit of a panic, you know, when it would get out there. But it doesn't. But it learns as it comes along, and we don't know it all. And there's things we're not going to know until we're changed. Did you know that this evening? We know in part, we prophesy in part, not the Bible. But when that which is perfect has come, I know people say the message and all that. I don't believe that, I'm sorry. I believe that's Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church. Because you see, people say, well, that's perfect, it's all happened now, and then they cut the throat out of each other. And one boy can't shake hands with the other one. You see, where's the love there? We need the love of God in our hearts. Perfect love. Perfect love is over there. Perfect love. No envy, no strife. Perfect, absolute love. The love of God. Let's come and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening. Most of all, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful that you are personal to us. Because we as individuals have believed in you and on your name. And because we believed in you and on your name, you have given power to as many as believed in your name to become the sons of God. Lord, we're glad for that tonight, and the daughters of God. Father, I pray you'll bless everyone in this room tonight. Lord, you know the things people's been praying. You know the heart's desire men and women have in this room for family members, for loved ones, for financial and physical situations. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ tonight that you'll turn every situation around to match the word of God. And that people's desires will be met. And prayer will be answered. Lord, add to your work such as should be saved. It's your work, Lord. If you don't build a house, they that labor in vain. Lord, we're trusting in you this evening. Lord, that you will add to your work. And oh God, we would pray like they prayed in the book of Acts. Oh God, stretch thy arm forth with mighty signs and wonders and miracles. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Oh, God, bless every brother and every sister in this room. Pray for all the widows in the church. You bless them, strengthen them, meet their every need, cover them, help them. For all the children, bless and strengthen them. Save every child, every nephew, every niece, every son, every daughter that's represented with this fellowship. Save every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God over them tonight. Lord, move in your own people. Those that need restoration, restore them. Restore the backslidden, renew them. Stir them, move them, visit them, speak to them, revive them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh God, I ask you, you'll move in these meetings in the power of God. Loose the gifts of the Holy Ghost right amongst us. Stir up the gift in every one of us, Lord, that the Spirit of God would move in mighty manifestation, dreams and visions and gifts of the Holy Ghost, tongues and prophecies and divers miracles, signs and wonders, we pray. Oh God, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We acknowledge you in all our ways. Lord, all the thoughts we would have, what we're going to do, we lay them all before you. And we pray that you'll direct our paths. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.